Penguin Random House Audio presents The Trading Game, A Confession. Written and read for you by Gary Stevenson.
Prologue. I want to tell you a story. Caleb's oversized face loomed over the table. Beneath it sat two ramen bowls, one empty, one full. A few stray wisps of steam floated upwards where they danced with his beaming white smile. From where I was sitting, slumped down low in my chair, the two chopsticks jutting upwards from my bowl seemed to reach nearly up to his chin. His smile grew. I used to know a really good trader. A really, really good trader. He used to work for Deutsche Bank. Smart guy. Young. Just like you. Caleb's thick forearms are wrapped around his warm, empty bowl, and they push down hard into the table. His hands were not far from my face now, clasped tightly together. I've never forgotten how those fingers looked. Thick, round and pink, like raw sausages. They looked ready to burst. You know, he was a really good trader, this guy. Made a lot of money. Made a lot of money for himself. Made a lot of money for Deutsche Bank. He had a good career ahead of him. The hubbub of the restaurant filled the space around us. It wasn't one of those rustic, hole-in-the-wall ramen joints that seemed to birth themselves in the back alleys of Japan's big cities. This was a big, sprawling corporate restaurant on the sixth floor of a big, sprawling corporate skyscraper. Loose-tied businessmen clinked beer glasses with their bosses, laughing at their jokes. A few American bankers mixed in with the Japanese salaryman types, talking too much and too loudly. I wasn't talking at all. I was watching that oversized face float through the darkness across the table towards me. But you know, this guy, this young trader, even though he was a good trader, he had one really serious problem. One fatal flaw, you could say. You see, this guy, he thought he could walk away. He thought he could leave. Do you know what I mean? Caleb was a big guy. I probably made that clear by now. But it wasn't just his face and his fingers that were big. Everything about him seemed about two sizes bigger than it should have been. His eyebrows were big. His chin was big. Somehow the hair on his head was too big, too thick and too dark. More than all of that, his smile was enormous. Huge, white and pearly. Right now it seemed to me to stretch wider than his face. Like the Tuesday night Cheshire Cat of the ramen yard, that smile seemed to shine through the dark of the room. So this guy, he decided he was going to take the money and walk away. Leave the industry, you know? Nice idea. Have a family somewhere. Sweet. You see, the thing is, this guy though, he just didn't really understand how this industry works. Deutsche didn't really want to see him leave, you know? It didn't take a genius to tell where this conversation was going, and I felt my stomach starting to sink. I began to feel a bit sick and I could taste or smell something in my mouth. Was it blood? I sat deep in my chair and I watched. Caleb was still smiling. That smile seemed to grow bigger by the minute. Anyway, Deutsche Bank went back and had a look at all of his trades, you know. All of his chat history, all of his emails. He'd been working there for a long time, you know. He'd done a lot of trades. And they managed to find some stuff in there that wasn't good stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about? Stuff he shouldn't have done. I could start to feel fire in my legs now, in my feet. A hot, growing, itchy feeling. A burning. But I didn't move. So, you know, it wasn't the right thing to do. But Deutsche actually took that trader to court for a few things. He hadn't really done anything that bad, to be honest. But they managed to put something together. The case rumbled through the courts for years and years. Do you know what I mean? In and out of court, in and out of court. Real nightmare. That trader, great young trader, he never really got to leave, you see? Never got to have that family. Just courtrooms. Best years of his life. Can you imagine that, Gary? Can you imagine? The case never went anywhere, but he lost all of his money anyway, in the end. Lawyer's fees. All of his money and much more besides. In the end, he was bankrupt. In the end, that guy lost everything. The fire was everywhere now. So was the sickness and that blood taste. I still didn't move, though. I looked up at his face. Gary, are you listening to me? Do you understand what I'm saying here? That big round face loomed closer still. Gary, I like you. I think you're a good person. But sometimes, bad things happen to good people. You're going to learn that. We can make life very difficult for you. In that moment, a lot of memories came flooding back. Memories that carried me thousands of miles, away from Tokyo and back to Ilford, East London. I was 18 and sitting on the football, in a dead cul-de-sac next to the railway, as Harry told me that his mum had cancer. I hadn't known what to say at the time. Do you want to play football? I remembered being stood up against the wall of an alleyway on a dark night and watching Saravan as he threatened to stab me. His hands were in his pockets. Did he have a knife? I didn't know. I remembered being chased down streets of terraced houses and jumping over garden fences and that time that Brathap got run over and the way that his body shook as it lay on the ground. I remembered all the stupid violence and the blood and the nonsense, so much nonsense of the kids on the street and all the promises that I'd made and the people I'd known. I remembered sitting with Jamie on the top of the multi-story car park in the night time, watching the new skyscrapers go up around us in our city and telling him that I was going to be somebody someday, promising him that I'd do it. He laughed at me, smoking into the moonlight. But I knew that I would, though. So did I. No, I thought, it doesn't end here. Not here in this cold corporate restaurant. Not buried down by the weight of that smile. Part 1. Going up. 1. In some ways, I was born to be a trader. At the end of the street I grew up on, in front of the tall concave wall of a recycling centre, a lamppost and a telegraph pole stand 4 metres apart from one another, forming the perfect set of impromptu goalposts. If you stand between those two posts, take 10 big steps backwards and stare upwards and between them into the far distance, the light of the tallest Canary Wharf skyscraper will peek over that high wall and wink at you. After school, as a child, I would spend long evenings kicking battered foam footballs in and around those goalposts, wearing battered school shoes and my brother's school uniform. When my mum would come and call me home for dinner, I'd look back and watch that skyscraper wink at me. It seemed to mean some sort of new life. It wasn't just the streets of East London I shared with those gleaming, towering temples of capitalism. There was something else too. Some kind of shared belief. Something about money. Something about want. The importance of money and the knowledge that we didn't have much of it was something I always felt very deeply. In one of my earliest memories, my parents gave me a pound coin and sent me to the Esso garage to buy lemonade. At some point in the trip, I dropped that pound coin and lost it. In my memory, I searched that pound coin for what seemed like hours, crawling under cars, scrabbling in the drains, before returning home, empty-handed and in floods of tears. In reality, it was probably only 30 minutes. But 30 minutes is a long time when you're a child, I guess. And £1 was a lot of money. I don't know if I ever really lost that love for money. Although, now, when I look back and think about it, I'm not sure that love is the right word. Perhaps, especially when I was a kid, I think it might have been more of a fear. But whether it was fear or a love or a hunger, it only got stronger as I started to grow. And I was always chasing those pounds I didn't have. At 12, I started selling penny sweets in school. At 13, I started delivering papers, 364 days a year for £13 a week. By 16, My high school sales business had become...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?